Right, here we go again.
Afternoon. You all right?
Yeah, very good, very good. It's a lovely sunny day.
What is Friday it? Friday afternoon.
Friday the 20th of September.
Where's the time gone?
3 weeks.
Scary.
It is scary. And it's. I do still get, and I think we all have it, that Sunday night.
Just afternoon, everybody. I'm Melanie Muldaney. I'm sat with Christian Seeger. Having a late afternoon chat.
I think they should know who we are if they've listened to number one and number two.
Yeah, okay, good point.
Three, yeah. What was I saying?
I don't know, about 20 days.
3 weeks.
Three weeks.
Sundays. So I still get that feeling, that back to work feeling. I think we all do. It's a little bit, I think it's good to have a little bit of nerves. And it's not nerves, it's more, right, okay, we've got to think, you're thinking about the week ahead. You're not thinking about the weekend anymore. So you have that little feeling inside you.
But then is that when you're sober?
Yeah, generally sober on a Sunday afternoon. But before I know it, I'm sat here on a Friday, end of a school day, and I'm looking back going, where has that time gone? And is that just me? Text Mal at justmaths.co.uk and just say whether... I'm going to try and get that in as many times as I can so you get loads of emails.
No, I've got it down to 1,533 emails this morning.
I bet most of those are me asking the question.
Down from 1,750 last week.
No, where does the week go?
I don't know. It has been extremely busy. Open evening, as most people have done.
Yes.
And that takes a lot of focus away from other stuff.
It does. I think you don't have time to think, do you? And you're in it, you're teaching, next minute you're planning for open evening.
The planning for the open evening, for us, I have nothing to do with it, to be honest. I think every school goes through what can we get parents doing. So
you want it to look the best, don't you? And you want your department to look great, and you're thinking about displays and... just getting it's everything that goes with it, and it's been a tiring week.
Yeah, but to be fair, the displays look good.
They do, and you should have seen Mal's got a great display that she set up, which is criminals wanted sign, so like the Western wanted for crimes in maths, and it's the maths teachers.
I've done it before, so it's an old...
It is old. I remember you did it with your Year 11s once, didn't you? With their errors.
For a top set Year 11 group, it was really nice because I had the maths criminals at the back of my classroom. And they were... I taught them for 3 years, so they were it was quite a safe environment. They were happy to share that they'd made mistakes.
Yeah, they were okay putting their photo up. And they had, didn't they, their error that they made in their mock.
Their last mock, yeah.
Just to really... hit home, come on, I can't make that error again.
Yeah.
So just to show that we're all human in the maths department, we've all got our photo up in the maths department holding up a silly error that we constantly make, and mine's as simple as the 6 8 7 8 6 6s. You know, the times tables that I really can't stand, and I always have done. But we've all got different areas, and you say you can't say quantitative.
I'm not even going to try.
But the parents absolutely loved that display last
night. Did
they? Yeah. And this is genuinely the first time I'm telling Mal about it.
Were they all walking along going quantitative?
they just stood there smiling.
Yeah.
You can just see that they liked.
It's about creating that culture about it's okay to make mistakes, though. We still make mistakes. None of us are perfect. Close.
It was brilliant. It was
good.
Brilliant last night. They loved that display. And we do have a nice looking department down there now with the... I don't mean the people. I mean the displays. The people are lovely anyway, of course. I mean the displays.
Nobody listens to this anyway.
No, we can rabble on about anything, can't we? Didn't someone in Manchester yesterday say, when's number three coming?
Yeah.
And you went, oh, you're the one that listens to it.
The one. Well, I thought it was Seeger's mum.
I'm sure.
Talking about times tables, today was really interesting. So I want to ask you about this as a teacher. I was teaching a girl, her recall of times tables was stunning. And I just said, what is 7 times 6? And she went, 42, instantly. 9 times 7, instantly. And then when I said, so her recall, something that's been done at the middle school, was phenomenal. But then when it came to number bonds, even to number bonds to 50, we were really struggling with it. And I've never had a student in the group. I've always got that they're not quite as good with their times tables, but I've never seen somebody that's got...
good with the times table, then missing other bits.
Yeah, not understood that it is effectively repeated
edition. I've ever seen that anyway.
And I was fascinated.
Mm.
Absolutely fascinated.
I don't... is it because they've just literally constantly practiced them and it's by rote and they're there but don't mean anything?
I don't know.
And then when it comes to actual bonds of them, I don't
know. So you've got kids, so you've seen the your kids develop, so you've seen the early years.
Yeah.
And what comes first, obviously?
Well, generally the number bonds come first, yeah. And then you worry about the times tables after, just in terms of practice anyway as a parent. I don't teach primary, and if any primary teachers are listening, you can answer that a lot better than I can, but I'd
never come across it. No. And so we had this really interesting conversation about what parts of the number bonds didn't she get, didn't she understand.
Did she say how she'd learnt the times tables or when?
It was... No, I never got into that. Maybe I'll look at that next week.
Yeah.
And I was really, again, it's just one of those things, having never seen it before. And she was so quick.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't say the sums fast enough for her to do with the times tables.
Was she better than you at the times tables?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She did have to use her fingers for the night.
Could she say quantitative? That's the test next time.
Right, so that was talking, I just wanted to pick up on that. The other one is planning lessons. Believe it or not, somebody else has said we didn't do enough maths in these podcasts for the last two.
Did they?
Yeah, so we've done
a
bit of maths.
How dare they?
I know. It's just, as we said, this is just two maths teachers talking. That's all this. We don't profess to be experts. It's just us two having a chin wag at the end of the day, end of the week.
Yeah. So planning. Okay, going back to planning then.
So think about planning your, I don't know, should we just choose, did you do 11s? Because that's everybody's, the big focus.
Okay.
So how do you plan, or talk me through what your, if you were to look at your lessons, what would we be looking at?
It's got to be the questioning. I think I'll pin everything off my questioning. So what?
So talk us out, how do you plan? So we've done, so far we've done two-way tables, frequency trees.
So we're following the crossover scheme to work with those guys. Yes.
Very quick. Two-way tables, frequency trees, Venn diagrams, product
multiples
plan,
in context,
highest common factor, lowest common multiple. We're now going on to multiples in context.
Yeah.
So Monday's lesson, because we share a lot of glasses, we're having the handover book, so that what I've done on one day with one class.
The year 11 is a super group anyway, so we're both with those.
But for the other classes we share, that's working quite well.
At the moment.
It does take me a bit of time on the Wednesday to leave you notes for the Thursday.
That's all right, as long as I get the notes, that's the main thing. But it's just about being organised, isn't it? We've all had shared groups in the past.
Yeah.
It's just, we're doing it slightly different. We're not having a separate book, we're having the same book. We're leaving notes for the continuation of the topics. So we're trialling something that we've not really done before, have we?
So we have gone off the time. Come back to your
planning. We'll come back to year 11 in a minute.
So the shared groups that we're doing, thinking about it, I've never even thought about it, because the shared groups I've had in the past, they've always said, you do unit that one, or you do algebra, or you do data.
You have your book, we'll have our book.
Yeah.
And then you have you're responsible for that part of their learning.
Yeah, because I don't want to mark somebody else's lessons.
Yeah, and also not have to worry about the continuation of where they got to. But I suppose we know each other quite well in terms of how we deliver, so that really helps out in terms of, if you say to me where you've got to, I know naturally how to carry it on, and likewise the other way around.
But I suppose we use a lot of the same methods as well.
Yeah. Well, we've started as NQTs pretty much, but give us a couple of years.
So. What's quite nice is, even if you do then use a different method, it's exposing the kids.
Yeah.
So product of prime factors with year 9s.
Oh, into lowest common multiples, high common factor. That was brilliant, that was, because we just developed two completely different routes into it that ended up actually being the same, but the kids see a different angle to it. And it was
but
nice,
I also
wasn't it?
Introduced the, one of the groups to doing it as, instead of doing a prime factor tree, doing it like a birthday cake where you're doing upside down division, or you're doing division and you end up with a candle on the top. And a couple of the kids like that, so they could see. It was like, well, it's just another method. The end result's the same.
So that is a bit different this time, isn't it?
Yeah.
In terms of split groups, we're actually trying our hardest to have a continuation, even though it's two different teachers,
to not feel
like it's a separate lesson or a separate entity or separate teaching. Separate.
Even so, I picked up halfway through a topic, and it's like, right, Mr. Seeger did this question, let's finish it off today.
Yeah. So that's where we've got to be tight and keep the notes for each other.
Yeah.
And it's going to take like one day, isn't it, of forgetting, yeah, and then it's going to knock it all out of sync. Yeah. But at the moment, 3 weeks.
And there you know to look on the left-hand side of the page as well as the right-hand side for my notes.
So the notes, we tend to leave it on the one page, and then I realised after the end of the year nine lesson that two kids didn't do the test that was supposed to do it in that lesson because they were on the left-hand side of the...
But there was a big arrow there. Did I say that loud enough? Yeah. Big arrow.
Not big enough. So there you go. That's a nice little thing to talk about in terms of sharing groups and how people do it. And if you're sitting there thinking, if anyone is listening
lots of people say, though, that they won't even think about planning unless sharing groups like that. It's always been, no, I'll do algebra, you do that.
Yeah.
And so...
It's worked quite nice.
But I suppose you've got to have the same class, not necessarily the same classroom, because the Friday for me moving my books to another classroom because you're in there is a bit of a pain with one of the groups.
But the kids still follow what we're designing
and
together.
It's so absolutely.
So that's
going
back to year 11, planning. You asked the question about planning.
And plan in your head now. Next week we're going to do whatever it is, multiples.
I'm not big on all this pedagogy stuff.
Can you even spell it?
I'm not sure, but I know what it is, and I think I suppose I'm experienced enough to know that it happens. And I'm not ever saying that I'll never learn anymore, because I'm always open to learning more and experimenting and trying this different stuff. But what I'll base it all around is, I'm not going to say the word hook and hooking them in, but realistically that's what it is.
Yeah.
What question can I ask to get them to actually think and be engaged from the start for that topic? So if we're talking about, starting for Venn diagram, and we literally, question one was, right, who's got a dog in this room? Who's got a cat in this room? What question am I going to ask you next? And trying to get them thinking a bit different. And some people call that metacognition, all that kind of different language. But ultimately, my planning and my thinking about the lesson, whether it's a written down plan, whether it's an in my head plan, what can that question be to get them thinking? And that's how I started off. And then
I've always find interesting when I'm in class with you is the questioning where you fire those questions at. And I think I've said this before at conferences that I've done and events, where having somebody come in and mark where you fire your questions at is a really nice exercise to do. Because I always found that the cone of vision where you always miss out
the first
one on the right and the first one on the left. And watching you, I do see you firing your class. Do you sometimes go for a kid where you know they're on the point of being disengaged or they might go off task? Is it to try to keep them on task as well?
Oh, absolutely.
So how do you choose where your questions...
Well, when their eyes are closed, when they're staring out the window, that's a good one to choose.
So if you're in the...
It's true. And that's normally Mal at the back of the class.
So if you're... Because sometimes where you go, no, actually, I'll ask you this question... And so you do tailor the question you're going to ask to a specific kid sometimes.
Yeah.
So it might be a probability where we're talking about, rather than a probability of all the students, you might go, actually, I can watch you doing it because you're going, actually, I'm going to push this one on a bit. And I'll see you'll sort of change your half mid-sentence, go, no, actually, let's go for, of the girls.
Well, we did that today, didn't we? Yeah. We changed it because the group were really focused at that point. There's no point in doing another easier one.
No.
Let's give them a chance to really think about it. And if you do see the old, not the eyes drifting off, you know what I mean? You can tell generally when they're with you, they're following you, they're engaged. It is a nice way of bringing some back on task.
So would you choose to do that So would it be like an easy question to a kid that you're just trying to make sure, hang on, listen to me, come on, back with us?
Yeah.
It's a nicer way of doing it rather than behaviour management.
It is a method of behaviour management, isn't it? You don't want to have to stop and the whole class to tell them off because someone is not concentrating.
And then you go, right, that's a C1 or that's your warning, and stick the name on the board.
Yeah, and ultimately you've taken out 2-3 minutes of your teaching time. And we're talking year 11 again here now in particular. That time's gone, you can't get back. But if it's a question you're putting straight at someone, they can't answer it, you've told them off. You've given them the behaviour little nod in a completely different way. And, okay, if you have to go to it again, that's when you do start bringing the conversation into it. But I'd say, 60, 70, let's go 75% of the time, let's say, you're going to get them back on with that kind of... It's just a little strategy, yeah, really, isn't it? But yeah, it's part of the questioning.
But it's quite a subtle thing that if people weren't aware or don't see it all the time, you don't pick up on.
And that's why you say it's really nice to pair up. Okay, loads of CPD happens in schools, but why don't you do that as a CPD opportunity? Just, can I sit at the back of the class and see who we target with the question?
Yeah.
Don't try and target anyone different than you'd normally. Just do it normally. And it just as a, I don't know, even a little tally chart competition. Yeah, and see who you get.
I did it once and asked somebody, and it was really interesting because I'd had a high energy group of boys with it, well, a class, and I was firing my questions at the boys. And I'd never thought about it, and I think I was doing it because water takes the path of least resistance, so I'm trying to find people that I want to have the right answer. This is very early on. Yeah. And actually, they're not always the kids I need to be firing my questions at.
Those passive learners need to be brought into it, yeah, don't they? Those ones that not always drift off. They can look like they're really learning, and it's only when you actually get to a mock position in year, yeah, 11 and you're looking at their work and going, they've not picked up anything I've said to you. And it is about keeping those on their toes and bringing the cluster with them, and yeah, it is difficult to do sometimes, yeah, particularly with 56 in a group.
Yeah, that is, but they've been all right, it's been good.
Yeah, they have. They've, in the main, bought into what we're doing, and I think...
There's a real buzz, the feedback from the kids has been good.
Yeah.
Feedback from the school, of they're giving other teachers, has been quite good.
We want to get to the mocks, don't we?
Yeah,
that's our first real... point. We're going to do a bit of an in-class bench line test, yeah, aren't we? We might use one of the secure mocks or the ones that were put away by, yeah, the exam boards.
So one of the old Pearson secure mocks, three or four. And I think because lots of people, I've been out and about and you've been out and about, and they're saying, what papers you're doing? Lots of people are talking about using the summer 19 papers for their mocks in November,
December. A lot of people
naturally
go for the most recent
because they think it's more secure. I get it because kids, but I think, it's again, depending on your exam boards, and I do have to make a correction. In episode one, I misquoted the grade boundaries for one of Pearson's papers, and I've had an email, so somebody else does listen. So sorry, correction, and I can't remember what it was now. So lots of people will go for the summer one. You have a different feeling about not with the November or December mocks not being too accessible. You almost want to raise that bar.
Yeah, I think we've all seen that the exam papers have settled. I'm not saying the word easier, because they're definitely not easier. They've just settled down.
Yeah.
So they've got a bit more balance of what a 9 looks like on the higher paper, what an 8 looks like. And I know we can't grade topics, but there's a bit more fair spread of difficulty.
Yeah.
And I think we can all see that. So they've settled down. I quite like the earlier papers where they were, and I am going to say the word tougher, because they probably didn't have as much, there's no experience gone into them of what
looks like. Yeah, and also the earlier papers, there was a lot of maths hidden behind really difficult sums, so they would throw in a horrible fraction when actually the fraction was stopping you factorise quadratics or whatever.
Well, I know people, if anyone is listening, has heard me say this before, but I liken those first papers to the film Sully with Tom Hanks.
I've not seen that.
Well, it's a film where he's the pilot, Sully, and he ends up putting the aeroplane into the Hudson River. But all the people are saved. Everyone's life are saved. And he goes through tribunals.
It's not Forrest Gump.
No, not Forrest Gump. He doesn't go legging it for miles. And it's all about...
This is a true story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Forrest Gump wasn't, I don't think. Yeah. We'll get some emails. Mallet just smashed. I've got it again. But he goes to tribunal, and it's all about the punishment of why did you put it there? You should have gone back. The systems and all the simulators say you should have gone back to one of the airports. And they said you didn't put any thought time into that moment. So add 30 seconds thought time and then see what happens in the simulators. And no one could get them back to the airports.
Yeah.
They all ended up, unfortunately, crashing and then wouldn't have made it, whereas he did with that thought process and that thought time. And it feels as if some of the questions were put in, those tougher ones, particularly the higher paper, they haven't thought of the time that the kids need to think about it before.
Because they were particularly tough.
And they were. And it seems that they've got better in terms of those ones that need more thought time. There's less of them, or they're more accessible in parts, etc. So I think just putting if we keep the bar...
How on earth have you made the jump from exam papers to a
Tom
film?
Hanks.
Yes, Tom Hanks.
I'll tell you what, if anyone likes that analogy...
Email Christy.
Man at justmaths.co.uk.
Christian at justmaths.co.uk. I'll even give you a school email address as well.
No, no, we can't bombard me.
We want to play up to, oh, mobile number?
But no, I genuinely think that's the way I feel. And those
squirrel.
There's been a few. That's your bounce past.
Oh.
They're silent compared to dogs. If you know what I mean, go back to podcast number one.
Oh, how cute's that? Oh.
It's a rat with a tail. No, it's a rat with a tail. Anyway,
yeah.
So the earlier papers, I think, offer a bit more of a challenge.
Mm.
And if you want to just keep the standard high, and I know some of the kids, you don't want to turn the kids off and disengage them. And then
it's so that balance between accessibility and ease.
They've got to have the eureka moments, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've got to get there. They've got to have the wins. But also, they've got to know they're not quite there yet. And you can't throw away the grade fours marks when they're not quite there. I'm not going to give someone the grade when they haven't got it yet or they're so close to it.
Yeah, and I think that for me is that if somebody's done no work, I don't particularly want them to get a four at this point. That's it. If they don't warrant it, if that makes sense.
That PE boy, and they've got it, we know we've got it, and they've just scraped it in their mock, and that risk of, you've got a four, brilliant, and they go, you know what, I've done it now, and they completely turn off.
Yeah.
I'd rather keep them on their toes, and that's my strategy.
And then would you want the papers to use the more accessible ones?
Get to the more recent ones so that'll
give them the confidence. Because you almost want to build them up to say, this is the scale of the mountain we need to climb, we can do it, right? Get them all, I can do this. But it is a big mountain.
Yep.
And then the mountain gets easier, the mountain gets smaller, so you're adjusting.
As
the
you're getting bigger with your brain soaking up more and more stuff, the mountain gets smaller.
Yeah, but actually, the fact is, the mountain's not really, we're adjusting that.
I prefer my Tom Hanks analogies.
Okay, that's quite interesting, because lots of people have asked me what papers you're using, and it's a conversation we've got to have about what we're going to use.
Whether we go back to 2017, maybe shouldn't say this in case it ever gets out there that we're using, but we'll go back to earlier ones to start with and build up to the more recent ones, the more accessible, the more settled down exams as we get closer to their real exam. We still want to dip into all the practice sets, the mocks, the specimens as much as we can, homeworks. We've got our tutor for 2 hours next week, and our tutor's a maths-based tutor, and we're going to do a foundation paper challenge with them, set a competition. How many can you get right before losing a mark? And we'll run around like a headless chicken marking their pages one at a time, but bringing competition into it, and that'll be nice for
One of the things you just mentioned earlier was about not being experienced but still learning. I think for those teachers that are early in their career, having seen what we had to do today, or what we chose to do today with our tutor group, where we kept them behind in line-up, made sure they lined in alphabetical order.
Yeah, we just want the basics sorted, and they're great kids.
They were good with it, but we had to take the time out and give up a tutor time to get our expectations in, because there is such a big, what is there, 50 of them, 48?
Yeah, 50, yeah.
That having 50 kids lining up, and if there is a fire bell, we need to make sure they're in alphabetical order.
Yeah, and we said that to them today, didn't we? So we took it back to the basic reason why we're doing it, and they bought into it, and they went, actually, fair enough.
Yeah.
So we'll see on Monday if they do rock up and go.
And I think that's comforting for new teachers to know that, actually, even existing teachers or more experienced teachers have to go back to basics.
Oh, absolutely. Everything.
Every lesson.
It humbles you when you start a new job, and anyone out there who's done it, and I know I said it on podcast one, but who started a new job, no matter how long, it is so hard because the reputation's gone. You have to start from scratch. And we do. Everything is back to basics. Everything you're teaching.
I think a lot of that, though, you put the pressure on yourself rather than people looking and thinking. It's almost your own perception is your own reality, isn't it? That's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Whereas most people know, it's a new job. It's.
I think the reality is most people do know, because it's just the nature of human beings. Mm. We know that, you've started a new job, okay, how are you doing?
Yeah.
That kind of.
Yeah. In what other job would you, when you have a bad day, I'm not saying no, but generally teaching, in however long you've been teaching, have you ever been able to think of any other job where it makes you feel so bad? So I was driving in this morning going, right, if I was a policeman and I have a particularly bad day, would I take that personally? Or if I was a solicitor, would I go home and beat myself up about having had a bad day? And it made me think about when I was in the corporate world, and it was like, imagine I just, one of my little projects didn't come to fruition, or I missed a deadline. I'm not going to go home and think that I can't ever manage a project or manage. Whereas you have a bad day sometimes in teaching.
Yeah, you think you can't teach.
I can't teach.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm never going to be able to teach. But there's nothing. It's such a personal thing. The way we teach is very personal.
We all know we rock up day by day, not knowing what to expect.
Yeah.
And you can go home buzzing, and you can go home down in the dumps. Because you do take it personally, because it reflects, you think it reflects on yourself.
And it's quite a bizarre job.
It is. So the ultimate rewards when it's going well, because you get that buzz that you don't get.
Is it what you thought it would be when you decided to teach? I know you joke about it, what you were after the holidays.
Holidays and finishing at 3:30, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
No, the...
That was what you tell people, wasn't it? Is it what you thought it was? Was there this love of... Because I always say to people, I'm not a maths academic, or I'm not an academic maths teacher. I just teach. Just teach kids stuff. It's all very much very joking, but I'm not convinced. I was looking at a PGC folder of mine, and I said in it, I can't believe how exam focused the schools are, the schools have become, and how much. And now I'm one of those teachers that are exam focused, and it is about getting results.
I think the real love and the real buzz came from it when I did see my first year 9 group that I started at the high school all the way through, and you see what you can do and support and help, and that's when you get the real buzz. And as much as I did, I've got nothing against the other year groups before that, it was when you had that ownership that you took all the way through and you go, I've changed their life, I've given them that qualification, or I've helped them with that qualification. And then it becomes, I want to do that again. I can do that with another year group. And you see.
And then you want to do it on a bigger scale.
Yeah, then you start seeing it on a bigger scale. And that's where the super group and all that kind of stuff started from, wasn't it? And it is a bizarre job that you can go home top of the world one day and down in the dumps the next. But then ultimately it all comes to fruition at the end of a year with results.
And we're already 20-odd days into the month.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
That feels like a nice point to start, doesn't it?
I was about to say that. It's quite a bizarre ending on that. It got quite deep.
Yeah. Is that me down with the kids? No.
No.
Tom Hanks? No.
No.
But no, it's been another good week.
Yeah.
Kids are doing
and
well.
I think we've covered a range of topics there.
We have. And to those people that said we're not talking enough maths, there you go.
Yeah, we've had maths, we've had planning, we've had all sorts.
Tom Hanks, yeah.
My mobile number, my email.
Brilliant. There we go. Another week.
Yeah. Right,
cool. Have a good weekend.
All right, and you see you Monday.
See ya.
Ta-ra.